This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Big Bear Mark.
This is Luke the Wonder Cub.
And this is a podcast for Brekkie Bears
on Joy 94.9.
Making your Monday more bearable with Big Bear Mark and Luke the Wonder Cub. Brekkie Bears, Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Melbourne. It's 28 minutes to 7. This is Big Bear Mark. I'm here with Luke the Wonder Cub. Hello, Luke.
Of course you are.
Of course I like most Mondays.
Why wouldn't you be?
I won't say every Monday because it's not been every Monday.
It's most Mondays.
But most Mondays.
Yeah, we usually chipper.
Yeah, we've been around for a while now, haven't
Perky.
We? God.
It's about a year and a half.
About a year and a half?
Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling quite old, actually.
Yeah, with all these programs leaving, we'll be one of the old...
like the veterans.
The veterans.
The wily veterans.
Because the Daltons are going and Rise Up's going.
I know.
Oh, it's just like they're deserting.
It's like changing of the guard, isn't it?
It is. So we've become the old... You know,
the daddy bears,
the daddy bear,
the daddies,
the daddies.
Or I'll be the daddy and you'll be the granddaddy, maybe. Just because you're a bit older than me, no other reason.
Anyway, I hope everyone else is being nice this morning.
Wow,
oh, really? We've got an amazing show lined up. Of course, like usual.
Of course. I'm actually having a lovely chat later on with the beautiful, the fabulous Dean Beck later in the show.
Beautiful.
Oh, I'm being nice.
Oh, you are. you are being
he's
nice.
He's lovely, though.
What's happened this morning?
No, I'm what do you mean? I'm waking up on the right side of the bed.
You were mean to me and then nice to Dean Beck. I don't understand this.
I'm nice to our guests.
You're nice to our guests.
Regardless of who they are.
Oh, okay.
He's coming in later to talk about all the great things that are happening tomorrow on Joy because it is World AIDS Day, which is massive.
It is indeed. We have a giveaway, of course. I'm not going to... You know what... If you listen to our program, you know what the giveaway is because we have it almost every week.
It's called Off the Pile. Off the Pile.
Another one on the stack. Yes.
Yes.
Ah, get it.
How was your weekend, Mark?
It was good. I went and saw a movie.
A movie.
I think I can say I went and saw The Hunger
People
Games.
People go and see movies still.
Oh, yeah, they do. And
they're like $50 per
person. No, I go to a different theatre, which is not one of the mainstream.
Ew.
In a
hipster
suburb
theater.
In a suburb near me,
a hipster theater.
Where I live.
Yes.
You know the one.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, but it was...
You went and saw the new
I went and saw the new Hunger Games, and people have been bagging it out, right? I thought it was good. I don't know.
Yeah, well, your taste has always been questionable.
Oh, hello.
I mean, look at your
co-host. Well, that's true. I thought it was actually quite nice, and I thought it finished the franchise quite well. I don't know what people are whinging about.
That's all you want from the fourth film in a franchise, isn't it? You want it to finish up and just wrap up everything.
And it did.
Were there loose ends still?
No, there weren't.
No.
There were not loose ends, which
was there
one
even
thing
like
I really liked.
A dangly twist after the credits or anything?
No, nothing.
Good.
It was good. It finished it quite nicely. And it's like, you know what happened and you know where characters were and you know who died and you know who didn't die and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to give any of it away.
Course, yeah.
But no, it was really good. And
good.
I also went to a friend's birthday party.
Yeah. Well, because interestingly enough, I read this morning that Hunger Games, the latest one, Mockingjay Part 2, actually opened with the lowest box office numbers out of all four films. Which is weird, right?
It is weird.
Because normally these sorts of films, they pick up steam as they go. And they get more popular and then people go and they rent them and they watch them on streaming services and stuff. And then they go and see the new one, you know. So normally they build up steam as they go. But this one's dropped off.
Look at Star Wars. It's up to the seventh film.
I forget Star Wars.
Well, you don't like Star Wars. which I don't understand. But... Yeah, they usually do pick up speed.
Yeah, but this one's dropped off.
So. Yeah, well, it's good. I liked it. That's my movie review.
Fair enough.
Taking over Conrad's
very
job.
Very simple.
Yeah.
Very simple review. I liked it.
I liked it.
I'll put that on the poster. I liked it, Big Bear Mark.
Why not?
Quotable.
Why not? It's quotable.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
What about yourself?
Yeah, you know, I had a barbecue Saturday night, which was nice.
Oh, nice. And, barbecue, I like a few snags on the sausage.
Yeah.
On the barbecue.
A few snags on the sausage.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Stacker. No, it was a good bit of a barbecue with the Critical Hit team after our show, which was all about Star Wars, actually, so you can't call me too much of a hater. We had a Star Wars episode.
Did you bag it out all episode?
No. I was nice.
Did you talk about the new Star Wars game that came out?
Yes, we did. And Lego Star Wars, other Star Wars games that I know. I like.
See, I have actually played Lego Star Wars.
Yeah. It's good. And then, barbecue, then watch some films myself. Caught up on some old ones. Well, not old, but, you know, recent that everyone else has seen already.
You said old ones, but yesterday I had one of those, you know, days where you just lay on the lounge and watch movies.
The best days.
And I watch Reanimator and Bride of Reanimator.
Yeah.
Tacky 80s horror films. Love it.
Yeah. Is there any other kind of 80s horror film but a tacky one?
No. That's, but you've got to say it.
That's expected, brilliant. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. What did you get up to on your weekend? Did you have a chill day? Did you go out and do something cool? Did you, you know, what did you do? Did you go and see the Hunger Games? Maybe you think that Mark is incorrect.
Tell me if I'm incorrect. Tell me why you think it was bad.
I love telling Mark he's wrong, so you would love it as well. SMS 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Maybe they'll feel bad that they're telling me I'm wrong.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
Maybe they're nicer than you. We've got Dean Beck coming in this afternoon. Later in the program. To me, it's like this afternoon, but it's not. It's later in the program.
In like an hour or so.
And he's going to be talking about what's happening on Joy tomorrow, because, of course, tomorrow is the 1st of December.
Yes.
And it is World AIDS Day.
Yes.
So there's a whole lot going on. But you don't forget, 1st of December is also another important day in Joy's history.
Is it?
It's Joy's birthday tomorrow. We're 22 tomorrow.
Oh my god, like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, well, and she's 22.
Well, no, the song she sang.
Oh, I thought she was 22 for a second.
Maybe she is.
Maybe she. Oh, it'd be good
I'll
if she
it
had
up, this. I'll look it up.
Look it up. But yeah, so Joy actually turns 22 years old. So we're not celebrating because it's not like it's 21.
She's 25.
She's 25, is she?
Sorry.
So she's a little
actually
bit older.
She's 26 next week.
Oh, okay.
So.
There you go. You got to love Tay-Tay, though.
She came first.
Yeah. But Joy is 22
tomorrow. Yes, which is great.
So it's great. It's a great thing.
22 years of Joy.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
And we've been around 1.5.
Yeah, well, 2 if you count. We started.
Oh, the woods.
Yeah, so 2.
Yeah, 2. We've been around a little bit longer. But yeah, so I just thought I'd make a mention, because I don't know how much it's going to get mentioned tomorrow. But happy birthday, Joy. That's all I wanted to say. Happy
Fair
birthday,
enough.
Joy.
And hopefully another 22 years at least.
Exactly.
Then we'll be 44.
Exactly right.
And Taylor Swift will be 49.
Well, she will be. She'll be.
I don't know why that matters.
I want to talk about the situation I had on the weekend, right?
Yes.
So I went to. Now, if he's listening, apologies. It's not meant to be anything, because you are a lovely person, right?
You know, but, you know, it's never going to start well when it's, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. But I got invited to a birthday party, right? And it was at a restaurant. So it was like we went out to this restaurant.
Yes.
And it was at 6:30. And I turned up with my partner. And outside the restaurant, there's one of our friends.
Yep.
He's actually down from Brisbane. It's like, oh, hey, blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, where's everyone else? No one else is there. And the invite was for 6:30, and we're there at 6:30.
So you're on time. But, you know, fashionably late is a thing that happens.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And I know that the invitation, basically about 18 people said yes to this.
Yeah.
Right. And we go in and we sit down and we're waiting. And we're thinking, well, there is a booking and we're here and there's only 3 of us sitting here. And then maybe about 10 minutes later, the birthday boy shows up.
Good, yes.
So there's 4 of us. And right. Have you ever had that situation where you're thinking, oh, God, it's only going to be the 4 of us? And they're booked for... And, like, there's a table set out with, like, 12 places.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is going to be socially awkward. And thank God other people did turn up. They were just running... hideously late.
Yeah.
Which I think is rude anyway.
Which I hate that anyway.
Rude. Yeah. And if you're one of those people that turn up late, sorry, I don't mean it. But
no, you do. No, it is freaking
well,
rude.
Well, it's a bit rude. And it was just like, oh, thank God. But it got me thinking, because it is one of my fears.
But I mean, a fear is worse than that probably, but 7 people turned up, right?
Yeah. In the end, it was 7
out of 18.
People. Well, and 12 people had confirmed, and then a few people. And I hate people cancelling at the last moment. And I know I've done it before. If it's genuine and I'm really sick or something like that. If it's genuine. But I feel like, you know, what was that? 6 people cancelled or something?
Wow.
I was like, that's kind of rude.
Do you think... I mean, here's what I think. Because when I've done it before. I've been guilty of it before, right?
Yes, you
I'm
have.
I'm not a fan of... No, relax. but, you know, like, it's easier to cancel on the day. Because people catch you out. Like, are you free on this day? And you're like, yeah, I think I am. They're like, oh, cool. And they invite you to a thing. And you're like, crap. I don't want to go. And then you leave it until the day, because you can't say, oh, something better came up or different plans came up, because then that's wrong too.
Don't
so you wait
free.
Till the day, and then you say, oh, I'm sick or something.
But you're not sick. You should
but
that's
go. That's what people do, though. I don't do that. I haven't done that for a long time. I don't do that. I let people know in advance. Well, in advance. If I'm busy and got something else on, or if I know I'm not going to want to go because I want to sit at home all day and be a sloth because I need that, I do that.
Yeah, but
I did that this past weekend. Someone invited me to a thing on Sunday, and it was like a few days before, and I said, you know what? I just want a day to sit at home and do nothing. I'm really sorry.
But you were honest, which is good.
Yeah, yeah. But what you're talking about is, imagine, you know, the situation where, what if no one else came and it was like three of you or four of you?
What if there was only the three of us and the birthday boy sitting there going at this table set for 12, and it's like, oh, no one else is coming. That's awkward.
Has it ever happened worse than that? For you, where somewhere that, where that's happened, where you've been there and like no one showed up?
No, it's never happened. But that's a real fear of mine that I did my partner's birthday party earlier in the year,
which was lovely,
and it was lovely, and I was lovely for organising it, and basically, and I mean, a lot of people turned up, but my fear was that everyone would say yes and no one would turn up.
Yeah.
That's a genuine fear I have.
Especially in the situation we were in with that birthday, where it was a set menu banquet type thing too.
It was. And so, I needed... But then I was very strict with people and said, if you're not coming, tell me, because I have to know.
And that's the thing. If you do something like that, where you need to know from people, it's pretty smart. You know what I mean? If you make it really casual, like, yeah, come if you want, no one's going to come.
Because I basically went, if you say yes, you're paying and you're coming. Or it's if happening. You don't come, you're still paying.
So that's scary.
I was pretty straightforward going, no.
Yeah,
so have you been in that situation? Have you been in a situation where no one's turned up to something?
Yeah.
How socially awkward is it? How awful is it? It's an awful situation.
Yeah. Or let us know if you have any tactics to ensure this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Maybe you have some strategies to make sure that people come anyway, like Mark did.
Yes.
SMS 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We're talking this morning about awkward social situations, specifically when you go to a birthday party and you worry that maybe others aren't going to show up. Like you were in that situation on the weekend, Mark.
Yeah, and I mean, thank God people did turn up, but it wasn't... Huh? Some people turned up. Not as many people as said they were going to turn up.
Yes.
Which, you know, and, you know, as I said, if you are genuinely sick and you have to cancel, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
But don't be cancelling at last minute if you're not really on your deathbed.
Yeah.
I'm not there. Because, as I said, earlier in the year, I did have... I organised a birthday party for my partner.
Yes.
At a restaurant, as you do.
Yeah.
Now, the thing was, with that one, I had to have very strict numbers. It was a banquet-style thing again. And it did matter because the price varied depending on how many people were there.
Yeah.
So I made it very clear to people that you had to, if you were going to say yes, you had to be there.
Yeah.
I said, don't say yes if you're not going to be there because of these reasons.
Yeah.
So I laid it out. And I have to say, everyone turned up.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Yeah, that was a good night.
It was a great night.
I think everyone has those anxieties for their own birthday or for an event they've organised with friends. I think everyone worries that people are going to cancel the day of or the day before and stuff like that. And it's always so disappointing when it happens. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
What I like to do is I like to create a buffer.
A buffer?
What I mean by that is if I have a birthday or an event or something, right?
Oh, yep.
I will invite, you know, like 20 people, 30 people, whatever it might be. I'll invite 20, 30 people, say. And I'll have like a core group of maybe seven or eight sort of close friends, my closest friends, you know? To people like you, people that I know I want there.
Yeah.
By any means necessary. So on the week leading up to, I'll confirm with them and be like, hey, you are coming Saturday, right? And they'll be like, yes. And we're like, awesome, I really want you there.
Mm.
And then basically, if I have that core group of seven or eight people definitely there, it doesn't really matter if the other 10 people actually cancel or not. If they come, great. Everyone gets to come and that's awesome. But if they do cancel, I'm not like, oh no, no one's going to come. Because I have that core locked in group that I know is going to be there. So it's like a buffer.
But there is, I'll warn people here because I have some good friends, they're partners, and they cancelled on me one too many times.
Yes.
And they've got a reputation with me that they cancel. I don't invite them to things anymore. Yeah. I just don't do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, because they're unreliable.
How many chances do you give someone?
A lot. I'm talking maybe 5 or 6 times.
And they cancel that many times.
They've cancelled at the last minute every time.
And I know the excuses that were given as well, and they were pretty crappy excuses some of the time.
They're always crappy excuses.
I had a bad day at work.
Yeah, or something like that. No, you don't cancel every single time. That you will get on the blacklist. Sorry.
Especially when it's like just like the four of you or the three of you or whatever. Like,
yeah, and you're relying on that person.
It's literally like dinner with just two other people and they cancel, you're like, well, now what? Like that's crap. Now my whole night's like gone.
Yeah.
But you put time aside and you can't even make backup plan.
Exactly.
You know? If it's the day before, at least you can ring your other friends and go, hey, I'm free tomorrow night. Let's do something.
Exactly. But don't cancel like 30 minutes before the event.
That literally ruins your night.
Yeah.
And leaves you by yourself. That's crap.
Well, I'm not with myself. I'm with my partner.
But still, like, you plan to see people and have a social evening.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than when that goes up in smoke.
But that couple, they're now on the exclusion list.
Yes.
They're not welcome anymore.
Not welcome.
So I'm just saying, you could better beware.
That's right.
It's a bit like Santa. They've been naughty. They're on the naughty list.
It's like James Spader in the blacklist.
Oh, James Spader. Yeah.
Thought that was a better reference.
I don't know that movie.
It's a TV show.
Is it a TV show?
Clearly you don't know anything.
I don't know.
Now, we have been talking this morning, Mark, about socially awkward situations, particularly in terms of parties and things and, you know, what happens with certain guest lists when people don't show up and the appropriate way to deal with, you know, cancelling or people who do cancel, serial offenders with cancelling plans.
And we've had a couple of messages in. We've had one in from Amy, the lovely Amy, who says she can't promise her presence often because her health changes from so much from day to day.
Yeah.
So often she has to do the buffering thing like you do.
Yeah, yeah. So make sure you have a close group of people that you know will be there regardless of anything else, and then the rest doesn't matter so much.
Yeah, and that's for special occasions, but she can be the unreliable one. But it's not by choice. Now, the whole thing is, like, we know Amy, and we know that is the case, so we wouldn't blame her for doing that.
And any friend of hers would probably know that there are health issues and that, you know, it's not going to necessarily be a guarantee because it would be... And you know what? Amy's so sweet. She'd probably say to them if she says yes to an event,
yes,
yeah, probably, we'll see how I'm going.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's fine because you know.
And by the way, a big shout out to Mad Dog, Amy's partner, who's not feeling well this morning. So
Get better, Mad Dog.
Get better, Mad Dog.
Now, also a message in from Brad. Now, this is actually really sad. Brad said, "It's at least if they cancel and let you know, it's better than just not turning up
at all."
Which is
true.
Now, he said a story. He was so embarrassed years ago, he planned a birthday dinner and booked a restaurant's private space. So a bit of effort was gone into there.
Yeah.
And he said, out of the invited and confirmed people, only about 1/3 turned up and no word from the others to let him know they wouldn't be there.
Oh, Brad, I feel so sorry for you. That is my worst nightmare. That is like, oh, I would hate that.
But at least a third. Like a third is maybe hopefully the core friends came, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And hopefully it was like, you know, 30 people and 10 people still came and it was a good night, you know?
But at least tell them that you're not turning up.
That's so damn rude. God. I can't believe that.
No, it's
you know,
rude.
If you suck it up and you go, and if you're not well, you usually still try and push yourself to go, unless you're really like bedridden.
That's
right. You know what I mean? I find that so horrible. Thanks for sharing, Brad.
Thank you for sharing, Brad.
We'll come to your birthday.
We feel your pain.
You invite
we do.
Us. We'll come. We won't cancel last minute.
No, we won't.
We'll let you know like 2 weeks before.
Yeah. we'll tell it's like, oh, sorry, we've got something on that day, Brad. Sorry.
We are bare liberties, so, you know.
But we're at least on the D list.
The D list? I sure hear many people's at D lists. Get it?
No.
Like not. The D.
Oh. No, I don't get it. Now, Luke.
Yes.
I want to talk to you a little bit about something that's happened. Now, a Melbourne City councillor, by the name of Richard Foster. Basically, he's come out and said
out?
Well, no, don't do that.
Oh, okay.
You don't out people like that.
Sorry.
But I don't know if he's gay or not. Don't know.
All right.
Basically, he has said that he's a bit sick of the worsening congestion that clogs the inner city, right?
Melbourne. Like on the roads.
On the roads.
Like trams and cars and everything.
Yeah, and he basically just decided, you know, I won't talk to anyone else about it, but let's announce that in 2017, we will have a car-free day for Melbourne.
Right.
Yay. But the problem was he hadn't talked to anyone else about it. No one else knew that he was going to do this.
That's awkward.
And the mayor, Robert Doyle, my friend Robert, he went, hold it a second. And I love Robert's quote. Basically, Robert said that it could only be someone who lived in the inner city and didn't own a car could come up with this silly idea.
Mm.
He didn't say silly. I put silly in. And also,
silly Billy.
And Daniel Andrews has also said, I don't think so. This is a bit unworkable. You need to be able to drive into the middle of the city. So what do you think, Luke? Do you think we should have a car-free day in the city?
I question what the long-term gain of that would actually be.
Well, he wants to make it permanent.
This, like overall?
At all. Yeah. It's like no cars in the city centre at all.
You can't
all.
Do that. You can't force people to take public transport or walk. You know, I think that, especially, it depends on the time of day as well. Like, you don't want to...
You do have the free trams.
Yeah, but not to get into the city, though, in the first place. What are people going to drive into, like, the outskirts of town, then get the tram into town? Like, isn't that kind of... That's weird. If you drive in, you're going to drive all the way and park in the city, aren't you?
And there's a lot of parking stations in the city. They'll be out of business.
Well, they'll be out of business. Yeah, there's so many of them.
But it's like us. We at 6:30 in the we start at 6:30 in the morning on a Monday morning. What would happen to us if we couldn't drive into the city? I mean, we could catch a train, I suppose.
Yeah. People that work earlier shifts, though.
Yeah.
Earlier than that.
What if they can't drive into the city?
What I want to know is how would they regulate this? In terms of, like, on the day, on this car-free day...
Just close the roads.
You close the roads.
Close the roads.
And people who don't hear about it because they're not listening to radio or on the papers or whatever...
Tough.
They just rock up and, oh, sorry.
Yep.
And then what do? They park on the outskirts?
Go and park. Catch a tram.
That's going to piss off a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I don't know about this one. Look, I sort of think, yeah, okay, I understand the whole thing about traffic in the city is awful. They've reduced the speed limit to 40 in the city now.
Yeah.
You know, they're
doing... If it was a weekend, maybe. Because the traffic on Saturday was terrible, for example. Yeah, there was, like, roadworks and we were detoured. It took us, like, 25 minutes to get from Lonsdale Street to Bourke Street. Like, it was insane.
Yeah, Friday night's a shocker in the city.
So maybe
as well.
If it was like a Saturday or something where you can sort of say, well, it's the weekend, so you don't have to come into the city. So if you do come in, don't drive, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? Should we have traffic in the middle of the city? Let us know.
Should we do a car-free day, or do you think that cars shouldn't be there at all? What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had a message in from Nurse James as well. Hi, James.
Hi, James.
He said that New Zealand had compulsory car-free days in the 80s, but gave so many exemptions for shift workers, it was a joke. Lasted less than 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If you're going to do something like that, you have to make sure that it's done properly. Otherwise, if you half-ass it... What are you gaining? What are you trying to do?
Exactly.
You make allowances. It has to be all nothing or just let it go.
Yeah. I don't think it will work in Melbourne. I think there might be cities that it would work.
Yeah.
Maybe in Sydney. That might work in Sydney, CBD.
Weird things work in Sydney.
I know. But I don't think it will work in Melbourne.
Sydney's traffic's terrible. Sydney roads, drivers in Sydney, man, they're crazy.
Yeah. James is... SMS us again saying London charges people a tax for driving their cars into the inner city, and that seems to work.
Well, because then only people that actually use it for businesses would probably do it, because they can use it as a tax write-off, whilst and people who just come in because they want to drive for whatever reason, they wouldn't be able to, right?
Or if you only do it once in a while, you probably go, oh, I can afford the tax.
I'll pay the fee.
I'll pay the fee. It's like parking. You know, it's a parking fee type thing.
We'll see what happens. 7 minutes past eight here on the Brecky Bears.
Did you like it? You liked it?
Yeah,
it was good.
I liked it.
I thought it was good.
You've done well.
Yeah. I love it.
Oh, God, he's already on the air. He can't wait, can he?
He
has to get in there. Who you just heard is the Dowsett song. Dowsett Tones? Dowsett Tones.
Dowsett Tones.
Oh, you're squeaking tones.
No. Now, what's your title, apparently?
Executive producer of Joy 94.9's World AIDS Day. World AIDS Day coverage, not AIDS
Day. That's something completely different.
He's that as well. it's Dean Beck. Hello, Dean Beck.
Thank you very much for having me on, gentlemen.
Of course. Well, I'd love to have you on occasionally.
Yes, but chances of me getting up at this hour readily is next to none.
So. At least you've got in for a good cause.
I have.
Year, yeah. And we're all about what's happening tomorrow, because tomorrow is not only Joy's 22nd birthday, it is it's World AIDS Day.
It is, and the theme of this year's World AIDS Day is Getting to Zero, which is all about zero new HIV infections, zero discrimination against people living with HIV, and zero deaths due to AIDS. So that's the goal.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this driving in this morning, because I was thinking, oh, we've got you on, and I love the theme because even probably 5 years ago, you wouldn't have thought that this was going to be possible.
No. Well, we didn't have the technology, for want of a better word, nor did we have the political willpower. And I would still suggest that we've got some work to do on that front as well.
Yes, I think we do. I agree totally, because there are things like, you know, maybe some governments might need to get their act together with things like PrEP and get that all passed and available to Australian people.
Congratulations to France, who, amidst all of its troubles, has managed to get PrEP approved last week.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, good.
Very good stuff.
Very good. What's happening tomorrow on Joy and around town, Dean?
Well, the Doherty Institute, which is right up the top end of Elizabeth Street, it's 792 Elizabeth, just beyond the big roundabout, they are hosting most of the activities. And it starts at 9 a.m. with Dr. Clovis Palmer from the Burnett Institute giving a keynote address. Our Health Minister, Jill Hennessy, will be there. There'll be a private, or not private, but it's not open to the public, a media conference at 10 a.m. That will be moderated by Rowena Allen, the Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality. And then at 11 a.m, I'm hosting a PrEP forum.
Oh, fantastic, talking about PrEP. So Joy's doing crosses to a lot of these. What should we expect from Joy tomorrow?
We've got people on the ground, and we've got also, thanks to technology, an amazing direct feed coming straight from the microphones and the lectern in the auditorium.
Oh, wow, that's excellent.
So our wonderful man in production, Jason, will be back here looking at my running sheet and chopping up all the content that happens there at the auditorium and dishing it out throughout the day on Joy.
Oh, fantastic. So you'll be able to hear all the highlights on Joy tomorrow.
Absolutely. And hopefully all the boring bits will be cut out.
So with your what's happening with your forum?
Well, everyone's invited. It is a community forum. And I guess it's an extension from the conversation that really got a jolt when we saw those posters in the streets of Melbourne.
Now, that was a bit of a controversy. If people don't know what happened, what happened?
Well, miraculously, one Friday morning, throughout the streets of Melbourne, posters appeared that said F Raw, no more HIV, PrEP works.
So how did you feel about that? Because you are a advocate for PrEP. Do you think that was a good or a bad thing that those posters came out?
My immediate reaction was this is a pretty blunt axe to a fairly complex situation.
Yeah, exactly.
And to put it in the mainstream, you know, in the streets like that, isn't targeted. But what it did do was really kick the conversation along. And it did it. I've got whoever organised it and orchestrated it, and I don't know who it was, their timing was absolutely A1 spot on. It was at the end of the conference in Brisbane. It was 3 days before Professor Grant was to speak here in Melbourne. There was a late line episode going to air about prep that night. The posters got onto late line as well as a last minute addition.
Yep.
So whoever did it, they knew exactly when to do it. And so on that basis, and the fact that it has sparked so much conversation and continues to do so, I'm kind of, in a weird way, pleased.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I mean, I think the tactic was... at first, I had a negative reaction to it, I have to admit. But then I thought, it did get the conversation started again.
And aside from the content of it, it was a fairly crude execution. But strategically, brilliant.
Exactly.
So tomorrow on the panel, we have a couple of PrEP advocates. Someone who's accessing PrEP from overseas who actually isn't sold on the science. He's got a few questions to have answered.
Interesting.
We've got Brent Allen from Living Positive Victoria, Simon Ruth from the Victorian AIDS Council, and Professor Edwina Wright, who is, of course, conducting the trial here in Victoria about PrEP. So between the three of those experts and our three community participants, shall we say, in PrEP, plus a auditorium full of community people who I'm sure will also have questions, it'll be a very worthwhile conversation, and it will air on Hide and Seek on Wednesday night.
Oh, great. So the full version will air on Hide and Seek.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Monday breakfast just got bigger and hairier.
And hairier.
Bears with Mark and Luke on Joy 94.9.
It's 18 minutes past 8 here on the Brekkie Bears, and we're currently joined by a very special guest to talk all about what's happening with World AIDS Day, the wonderful Dean Beck.
Thank you very much.
That's right, Dean. Now, Dean, the VAC's got a few other events happening tomorrow, including a morning tea up at the Doherty Institute, I believe.
Yes, indeed. 10 a.m. the morning tea will happen whilst the media call's going on, which we're not meant to know about. So, come along for a morning tea, if you wish.
Yeah, come along for a morning tea.
But also, I want to congratulate VSC, who were out in force on Saturday in and around Melbourne, and particularly in Bourke Street, handing out red ribbons. It was wonderful to see. Yeah.
They have been doing what's called painting the streets red, and they've been out at train stations throughout the suburbs as
I
well.
I have it on good authority that tomorrow, World AIDS Day, VAC will be out in force on the streets of Melbourne like they never have been before.
Fantastic. That is really good. Now, also, we do need to mention the World AIDS Day Memorial Ceremony tomorrow night.
Yes, indeed. Positive Living Centre, it is at 51 Commercial Road, Prahran, and the memorial is a solemn affair, but it's always a great time to remember those who have passed to AIDS. And, of course, it starts at 6 o'clock. The Equality Minister, Martin Foley, will be there.
And Luke Gallagher's emceeing, I believe.
There you go.
Well,
what's not to like?
What's not to like, indeed. Get down there to South Yarra tomorrow. So that's from 6 p.m, wasn't it?
I think Luke has done that for many, many years, actually, and he's to be congratulated. Yes, it's 6 o'clock tomorrow night.
Very good.
Of course, I should one other thing,
yep,
if I could.
Yep,
In the afternoon, there is a science symposium, so if you're that way inclined, you can get along to that. It's also at the Doherty Institute, and there are... acknowledging some of the young scientists who have made some tremendous achievements in the last 12 months here.
Which there have been many, which is very good.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we will get to zero soon. That is definitely a fantastic
PrEP
goal to have.
PrEP would certainly help that process.
And let's hope that that all gets approved very soon too.
Indeed.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dean, for coming along today and
Thank
letting
you,
us
gentlemen.
Know.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time.
Oh, we're going to give away something now, aren't
we?
Yes,
let's give it. It's the time that we do that.
I was thinking, what time is it, Luke?
What?
It's time to give away some pancakes.
It is the best time of day.
We have a pancake parlor voucher valued at $50.
That is a lot of pancakes.
Lots of pancakes. Give your smelsh yourself.
Your what? Your smelsh.
Your smelsh. That special treat.
What?
Enjoy delicious pancakes at the pancake parlor.
Oozy.
Sweet.
Tasty.
Savory.
Ooh.
Your choice.
Creamy.
Lovery.
Loverly.
Lovery. All you have to do, now you can't have won a prize in the last 7 days, you've got to be a Joy member.
And we're trying to be a bit creative because we've done the pancake thing a few times.
Yes.
So I'm trying to think, how can we make this more entertaining? So we've come up with a genius concept.
Yes.
What we want you to do is, we want you to SMS 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au or call Alice on the front desk, 1300JOY949, and replace any movie title.
A word.
Replace a word in the title with the word pancake.
So it could be The Pancake Games, Mockingjay 2.
Or it could be Pancake Wars.
Like Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So be creative.
Yes.
And I think we're just going to give it to the most creative person here.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to randomise this at all.
Let's choose the most creative one that we laugh at the most.
Yeah, we've got to have a good laugh here.
So again, SMS 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Replace one of the words in any movie you want with the word pancake. Send it in and you'll go into the draw to win. And we'll decide on the funniest one.
Exactly. We're good judges. We're fair.
Legit and stuff. It's all good. Now, what we have been doing this morning, Mark, is we're currently giving away some pancakes.
Pancakes.
Which is very exciting. And what we've been doing is we've been asking people to SMS in and tell us a movie title, replacing one of the words in that movie title with the word pancake or pancakes.
Like Nurse James did. And he said, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Pancakes.
Not bad, James, not bad. We've got another one here from Nicole from Nana Warning. She says, Revenge of the Pancakes.
We have Marky Mark from Clifton Hill. He said, Willy Wonka and his Pancake Factory.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And we also have Neil from Carrum Downs, who said, Around the World in 80 Pancakes.
Oh, I like that one. That's a good one. On you, Neil. We had Darren from Carrum Downs as well. He said, Calamity Pancake.
Okay. And also, Tony says, The Cruel Pancake.
Ooh, like the cruel sea. The cruel pancake.
The cruel, it's mean. Oh. So we want to know.
Nasty pancake.
We want to get some more entries in for this one. We're going to pick the funniest one that we like the most to win this $50 pancake parlor voucher. We've been doing some in the break as well.
We've been doing, like, The Pancake Runner. You could do that.
Yeah. Or Edge of Pancakes.
Oh, yeah. You could do 300, Rise of the Pancake.
You could. You could do How to Train Your Pancake.
I suppose you could.
I like that one. Anyway, there's all sorts of ones it could be.
Whole lots of ones it could be.
So many. So get your entries in. SMS 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au or call Alice on the front desk, 1300JOY949. Tell us any movie you like. Change one of the words for the word pancake and you go into the draw.
Jurassic Pancake.
That's good.
That's
a good one. Yeah.
Or 50 Shades of Pancake.
50 Shades of Pancakes. Ooh. Like cooked differently.
I don't know if that's nice. No, that could be nasty.
Don't think about it too much.
No.
Mad Max Pancake Road. Just saying.
Yeah, exactly. There's heaps of them.
Get your entries in and you'll be in with a chance. Easy as that. 14 minutes to 9 here on the Brekkie Bears, and we're giving away these pancakes, and we've gotten a pretty great response.
It's gone crazy.
It's gone absolutely crazy.
Angela from Reservoir said...
So what we wanted people to do was... Okay. I should explain.
You should explain. Go on. Go on.
People to SMS in a movie title, replacing one of the words in that movie title with the word pancake or pancakes.
Exactly.
To make it funny. We'll pick the best one and give the $50 pancake parlor voucher to the winner.
Exactly. Angela from Reservoir said, When Harry Met Pancake.
Yep, that's a love story.
A good one. Yes.
Known by everybody. Another one came in saying something about pancakes.
True. 40,000 pancakes under the sea. Oh, I like that one, Beck and Amy.
Pretty good. I had another one in Cloudy with a Chance of Pancakes. Not bad.
Holding the Pancake, David from Richmond. Very good, David.
Sounds like a great movie. Never Ending Pancakes.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Especially if they fly.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Beck and Amy have gone a bit mad.
They're enjoying it a lot.
They're enjoying this.
They sent about 7 in, so here we go. Pretty in Pancakes.
Oh, I like that one because I like those movies. The Pancake Club, yep. Which is one of my favourite movies.
The Devil Wears Pancakes.
Finding Pancakes.
Snow White and the Seven Pancakes.
Dirty Pancakes.
Yes, they're really enjoying themselves, Becca and Amy. Thanks, guys, for your messages in. Lots of stuff going on. And also, Sally has messaged in. She said pretty in pancake as well.
As well, yeah. There you go.
And pancakes are not the only fruit. That's
very good.
So anything's wrong with that
Desperately
sentence.
Desperately seeking pancakes. Yes.
The colour of pancake, oh, which lovely. Is basically like a yellowy brown.
Yeah. Just to be clear, it's not purple.
That's the answer to that question.
If it was purple, it would be, we'd be in trouble, I suppose.
Great pancake. Although, you know, last week...
Blueberry.
We went to a cafe in Brunswick, mm-hmm. and my partner had red velvet pancakes.
Ooh.
And they were red, and they tasted like red velvet cake tastes.
Ah.
It was really nice. I had a bit of a try.
That's good.
It's quite good. Nice. So it can happen.
So get your entries in.
So we're almost at the end of the show. We've had a bit of fun with this one. We've been talking about... movie titles replacing one word in the title with the word pancake instead.
Exactly.
It's been a bit of fun.
even the general manager of Joy, Amy Moon,
getting involved.
Got involved. She had to tell us. She said pancakes on the Orient Express.
Yeah, yeah.
She's an Agatha Christie fan.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
We've also got some more entries in before we give away the prize. So we've had a message in from Marky Mark again saying Pancake and the Seven Dwarfs. So we had a similar one earlier.
Yeah,
so.
And he also said Debbie Does Pancakes.
Which we were waiting for someone
to say
do Debbie Does Pancakes. Nicole from Nana Wadding says Desperately Seeking Pancakes.
That's a good
which
one.
Which sounds like me most mornings, really.
Yes. Marky Mark again. Now, I think he's pandering to us here. He said pancakes and the Three Bears.
Yes, which we do appreciate.
We do appreciate.
Our ego thanks to you, Mark. And also messages in from Big Steve saying, pancaking Miss Daisy. I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, driving is Daisy, but pancaking is Daisy.
Like, is that
yeah.
a fetish, pancaking?
Maybe.
I should explore
this. We're Steve.
Sounds great. Pancake underarms.
Yeah. Rub around our arms. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, if only you were allowed TV series, he said, all the pancakes run.
Oh, very good.
So that we have appreciated all of your entries.
But look, what we've done is we got Luke's mother to judge this one.
Yeah. She messaged in and she said, look, I think I have a favourite. And I cracked up laughing with this one, so it has to win. So we're going with my mum on this one. We've made a decision.
Yes.
So.
We have.
Without we've made a decision. Ado, based on that, the winner.
Chosen by Luke's mother.
So you can thank her for this
You can thank her for this one. It's Snow White and the Seven Pancakes by Becca and Amy. Yay, from Mentone. Yay.
That's right, Snow White and the Seven Pancakes. Thank you very much. And look, thanks everyone for your entries. We had a lot of fun with that one, so.
Yes, and Becca and Amy, you can be just like Snow White and have your seven pancakes with your $50 voucher.
That's right.
From Pancake
Seven on a stack.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening today. Stay tuned. Scotty T is coming up next with Melbourne's most uplifting music mix here on Joy.
Exactly right. What's on Critical Hit on Saturday, quick?
Christmas Buyer's Guide, talking about which console you should buy this Christmas.
Ooh. Of course, Thursday at 9 p.m. is The Woods, where we talk about bear stuff.
That's right. So Thursday at 9 p.m. and then Saturday at 3 p.m. it's your two favourite shows, apart from the Brekkie Bears, of course.
Exactly. Remember tomorrow, World AIDS Day. Listen in for all the updates during the day. We want to thank Dean Beck for coming in this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Dean. And check it out. Yeah, like Mark said, World AIDS Day is tomorrow. Lots of great content happening here on Joy 94.9. Make sure you check it out.
And it's Joy's 22nd birthday. Yay.
Yes, we're getting
Happy
old.
Birthday.
We are aging. It is very exciting. So we're 22 tomorrow, like Taylor Swift. 22.
She's not 22. She's 26.
But she did the 22 song.
I know.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
That's it for us.
We do hope, as always, we've helped to make your Monday just a little bit more bearable. Enjoy your week.
Woof, girl.
Joy.
This has been a podcast for the Brekkie Bears on Joy 94.9.
If you like our podcast, why not rate us on iTunes and Stitcher? Woof, girl.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.